All I got is not doing here afternoon here in the city of Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm going to make sure you guys are going to get in on tonight. I'm going to let the music kind of solidify itself here just a little bit. No one overbearing with you. I'm going to kind of pull it back a bit and a few announcements before we get started. So we get back to music. I'm going to be over in the book of John. A lot of testimony to service tonight. We're going to talk about the power of prayer and what it can do in your life, how God declared that he will speak. Then when we look at the book of Romans 4:17, God gave us the ability to quote the word, giving us the ability to call things, the events and circumstances in our lives to be not the word. I want you guys to join me here. And I want you to call into the studio, 929-477-1191. We're going to move in here in just a moment. It needs to move itself in position, and we're going to actually hear what the word of God has to say. That is coming from the kingdom. Give me a few minutes. I'll be right back with you guys. God, we thank and bless you for this opportunity for your throne on another Tuesday night testimony service. Father God, thank you for the breath that's running warm in our veins and every opportunity we have that's come from you, Father God, that we may know and understand through every circumstance, every situation, every problem, you're yet in control to move forward with that which you have given us in the season that we're in. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask the word to be declared, decreed from the kingdom of God. We know that no weapon formed against us should nothing will be able to stand as we continue to move forth. And that's what the Lord have to say that is coming from the kingdom of God. We're going to look at the book of John, and we're going to talk about some things about the power of prayer. When we talk about the power of prayer, how it's really like a contract, you know, when you have to speak something out of your mouth, and it's pertaining to the kingdom of God, and illustrate anything, in illustrations or the words that come from the B-I-B-L-E, which is the Bible, you know, God has given us the ability maybe push that in position and say, hey, look, because it deals with me, because my word, because I've said it, I got to keep in contract to what I'm saying. That the contract of the kingdom is more powerful than any physical contract on earth. Well, God gave us the power according to Genesis 1:26. He gave us dominion, supremacy, power, and authority over every negative thing that tried to come against me and you as being man of God. He said, behold, I've given you the power. And in the midst of giving you power, he gave you the ability to tread upon serpents, scorpions, whatever it may be. I mean, the circumstances, issues in our life, that we come to the process to know that God's in heaven and everything he declared according to the kingdom of God got to come to fruition according to what he says. We talk about the book of Genesis. And the Genesis declared that, you know, out of anything, out of nothing, we go over to the book of Genesis. We'll just tap the book of Genesis for a minute. We're at the book of Genesis, and it tells an extraordinary story of how we're supposed to be our as man and woman, God of faith. You know, when we look at the word, we think about faith. We go to the book of Genesis. We open up the book of Genesis. We go to the first chapter of Genesis. We see the words coming to fruition. We see the manifestation of what God says, that, you know, he exalted his word above his name, the performing of the word being carried out through the Holy Spirit. We got to think about, you know, how this is coming together, not just from a man-made standpoint of text, but what God has said. The Bible says it was beginning, like in our life, when we first came into this world, we've been gifted, we've been designed and engineered, not by the hand of man, but through the power of God. Now, this is what Jeremiah 1:5 tells us. Before we was born, before you and I was created, before we was engineered to do anything on this earth, God said there was a gift that's already imputed into us. Matter of fact, we'll go back to days, into the process of the word of God, about Adam and Eve. You know, when God first created Adam, he first created everything, and not just Adam, before Eve, you know. The word was declared that Adam wasn't even a thought in the mind of God, but now God bring what was in his mind to fruition. I mean, he spoke, and he declared, and he called Adam in position. Now, this is something that's dealing with faith. You got to catch the revelation when God talks about this, because it's talking about more than the supremacy of the power. What God has given us, the dominion over everything on the earth. And he really means that. The word of God tells us in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now think about the process of how Adam was. He was created, you know, from the dust of the earth. Adam didn't become a living soul until God breathed into him, and now he became a living soul. In other words, he became a living spirit. You know, where the soul is, the process was made up from the clay, the dust of the earth, and now it's just live, could be lifeless, and then God spoke into it. The same thing we got the ability to do to speak life into destinations, life into situations, life into issues, life. The way God tells us, counting that robbery to be just like God, counted negative to be like God. We're supposed to be like God. We look at the Hebrews, we think about the process of Hebrews over in 12. He said, the author is the finisher. I came to design man, according to Romans 12:1, to be just like me. I teach you that, brethren, by the mercies of God. And let you present your body as a sacrificial offering, holy and acceptable, and that's a reasonable source. Now, the word calls him after conformity, be not conformed. You know, we didn't come to be like the world, we came to run the world. The church is designed, which is in you, this hidden jewel, this hidden treasure, this inside of clay jar, this particular dirt, this particular soul we have. In other words, God called us to have a spirit that makes the soul live. In other words, it moves about as Christ done when he was on earth. Go back to the book of Genesis. The word of God declares and creates in the beginning. God created. Everything was created on the word. Everything you create in your life is on the word. The word of God tells in the book of Proverbs at the 18th chapter, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so for those who eat thereof, she eat the fruit thereof. If you speak in negative, you hang around negative, then okay, you become guilty of that association. Unless you understand the word of God when he really speaks to you, not from a physical standpoint of view, but from a physical standpoint of view. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if there be any man, he didn't put a label, restriction of a man or woman. He said man was made, woman was born from the rib of man. So he said any man, any woman. So what he speaks about over here, he talks about if any man, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man, any woman, if you be in Christ, you become a new creature. All old things has passed away. He's speaking in reference to the commission of what he designed and engineered about a promise of his word. He speaks that same position. Now, we talk about testimony. We talk about the testifying and the goodness of God's word. God said his word won't go void. It's accomplishing word. It will do everything he designed and engineered therein. Our job is to pay attention to what God created and designed us to be here on earth, and that was to be ambassadors, to be heirs of a throne. We were heirs and joint heirs of a king. Christ came down to prove the fact that what he done on earth was actually designed for us to do, the healing ministries, all the things he saw them do, with the things that took place in the earth in terms of illnesses, sicknesses, financial problems, issues, answers. It didn't matter. Everything he done, he saw his father do. The book of John chapter 14, you take your Bibles and you look at the book of John chapter 14, it says, in the beginning was, and the word was, and the word was with. God is declaring that even as we spoke, as his son had the opportunity to do, we got the same ability also to walk in the newness and the likeness and the creativity and perform the miracles that Christ done. How do we get there? The Bible says fervent prayers of righteous men. Our mouth begin to write contracts. Contracts are things that the enemy cannot, he cannot ricochet. He cannot bring it down because it's a stone written word according to the kingdom of God, part of his commands. It's a part of his dominion and supremacy they've given to us. He gave us the ability to speak, according to Romans 4:17, to call things that be not of the world. God made us a powerful creativity in the earth. When he says over in the book of Genesis, he said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. He took my darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. Meaning the Spirit was under the intention of whatever God told it to do, it done. The same thing with Jesus declared and appeared, he said that I will leave you a comforter, and that comfort, that paraclete will leave you, the all truth. When you understand the power of the Holy Spirit, what this capability has got to do in your life, he's more than what you can see. The Word of God, Paul speaks about him over in the book of 1 Corinthians, that second chapter. He said, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man, the things that God has in store for those who love him. You go back over to the book of Genesis, in that second chapter, he said, the earth without form, you without form. You take that part right there, you look at earth without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. How did he move? On a spoken word. Bible declares and decrees, even the book of Jeremiah, 1 and 18. Jeremiah didn't understand who he was and what he was designed to be. But when God sent him and showed him how he's supposed to go down and be able to look at the process of a made clay on a wheel, he said, that's how you're supposed to be. That even though you lumpy and messed up, you may not be appealing, you might be ways to what I want you to do, but I want you to know something, Jeremiah. Can't I do with you what the potter does on the clay? Can I do with you on the wheel? Can I make you? Can I design you? Can I engineer you to what I designed you to be here on earth? And that's to be my ambassador. Speak, declare, and decree. Don't feel bad, but call things in situations in your life that be not the authority. You can hear what this prophet is telling you. God wants you to be more than what you are in earth. He wants you to be just like his son. His son came to prove to you and I that the work can be done. Apostle Paul came close, despite it was sinful things that happened in his life. He got sidetracked and stuff. But so do we. But now mercy and grace is in position. So wherever I fall, I call on Abba. In other words, the Word God tells me in the book of Romans chapter 6, shall I continue on in that fall? Shall I continue on in sin, lest I got an advocate? Grace abounds. That means I can get up out of whatever it is I am, dust myself off, tell the Lord I'm sorry, our Father, give him the repentance prayer, as he said over in Psalm 51, declare the Word of God according to the kingdom of God, they even speak according to the promise of which I'm going through the shadows of the of death, I feel no evil in the midst of me even stumbling upon it. God is just still offering a plan for my life, because the plan is more than what I can see. You got to believe that when you speak a word, you declare a word, it's already going into fruition, already going forth. It don't need no help. It needs the support of you believing the clan cream by faith. Faith says that I can't do it by feelings. I got to believe that this is already in me, that when I speak and declare, according to Psalm 46, that he's a very present help in a very present time of need. I will fulfill the need and desire what God designed me to be on this earth, and that is ambassador, not by name or title, but the superior power to believe in. I got the ability to be just like him. What did he say? Count it not robbery to do what? To be just like God. We're told to be just like Christ, do the things of Christ, walk in the image of Christ, speak things in the image of Christ. No one declare and decree that there is nothing formed against us to prosper. Nothing should be able to stand. We are people that are designed to prosper in whatever we may do. Not to the point to look better than anybody else, but to have the fulfillment of that which comes from the kingdom of God. Don't know if we can see something from Christ. It came from him. We not ourselves. Do we need help here on earth? Of course we need help. We can't do anything without the God of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to lead us to do everything we need. The enemy is designed to come in to throw, he's going to throw an orange cone in your life. That's what we talk about, the circumstance of situation, the proclivity, the subvert to end up having us fall back on what God designed us to be. Because he made us to be a perfect image just like him. But when his son died on the cross, whatever sins and mistakes we have made, they're already cleared up. We begin to speak out the very model prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That will be done. Or it comes back over in Psalm 51. Restoring me that what you designed and engineered me to be. That I don't faint in the midst of adversity. Knowing through you, Father God, that everything, I mean everything and all things are possible. And you said that no good thing will hold from me, that's if I walk upright. That when I'm walking with God and doing right, that's my God. And then any attack me, then God says, okay, the battle is not yours, Apostle. It's God. And most people don't realize and understand your battle don't start until you pray, until you get on praying. When you begin to release unto God, then what the angels are taking back to him and cohering what you're saying, knowing that he spoke it in the sincerity of your heart, has got to go, got to do it. Because if I don't do it, then I'm a lie about everything else. I'm be a failure at everything I've ever said in this word that's called the true unadulterated word of the kingdom of God. That when my sister and my brother call out to me, and I told them according to the word of God, if they just speak according to Romans 10 and begin to declare my name, then know that through me that everything and all things are possible. God said, I will begin to make them whole in ways that they can imagine and even understand. Everything that they need is brand new. It's already here. Am I God that I should lie? Or am I a son of a man that I should have to repent? My command has been given. It shall not revert. Then whatever God has said, it overrides and overrules everything on this earth. Because the earth was his and the fullness thereof. He created and he designed it. He engineered it. Everything he was living on the earth was created by the magic, not the imagination, but the thought of Christ. I didn't have to see it, I believe it. The word of God speaks a strong word over here. We look over in the book of John. Over in the book of 1 John. Turn your Bible over to 1 John. And you go down to get the 12th verse. And I want to stick here for a minute. Because we're talking about testimonies. The testimony of God's word. God's word is a testimony. The Bible says, when we confess the word of God and believe, the Bible said that word leads to salvation. That's what Romans tells us. Confession of the word, the believing of the word, knowing through God that everything and all things are possible to him that believes. So in my mouth, I begin to confess my own salvation because I'm really already in the land, already in the earth. It's already available to me. It's not I got to do special. He said, well, what saith I? What? The word of God is in our mouth. That's what he tells me. It's nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart. The word of what? Faith, not feelings. I should confess it. I mean, I got to open up my mouth. Confess it with my mouth that the Lord Jesus said, believe in thy heart. I got to believe it. It's a process. If I don't understand the process, then I'm going to leave out. In the heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou should be saved. Now, Mary should have heard this. Back when she was weeping about John, about Lazarus, he was in the grave. Aren't you going to release him? Aren't you going to let him go? God said, well, he'll live again. Well, she didn't understand the point of what God was saying, that she was looking at the one that the power of life and death in his hands. And that's why I'm saying, you want to get somebody to help you out of a situation that you're in, turn to the individual who God has chosen on this earth that he had the ability to speak life and death all over your life. Talking about somebody coming with a parade, decorated word to make you feel good. I'm talking about somebody that's going to legitimately speak and declare a word of God all your life to see the power of God move in the midst of whatever you may be going through. The Bible tells me that I'm in the image of Christ. When I'm made in the image of Christ, that means I have the ability to do everything that he's done according to the word of God. Am I there? Not because I've confessed the word of God with my mouth. Not have I confessed it, I believe it in my heart. That God raised me, whatever circumstance I may be. Well, God raised his son from the dead, but in the midst, I am being raised too. Out of the activities in my life. Then now I have the ability to speak and declare and decree. Call in the midst of situations that are not in my life, though if they were. I mean, I got the power to switch like he did with Hezekiah. I become a prophet to myself. Speaking and declaring and believing that whatever God has told me has got to come to fruition. Good Lord, didn't you tell me? Didn't he say? Yeah, he said it. I say he's not God that he should lie. Okay, he won't lie. But he's not a son of any man that he should have to repent either. The command is what God has been given. So when you begin to believe by faith, as James began to say, when he got into with Martin Luther down there, going to be the chief priest of Jerusalem, Martin Luther told James, don't plan on teaching people just words without works. That's why the word of God says, show me a man that has faith without works, and I'll show you a man works that's dead. But James is telling him, when you go there, make sure you put some work in people. Make them get out, move around. Make them do some things. Let the word be put their feet to faith in the name of Jesus. That when they go and begin to move, the Holy Ghost be right with them. That when they speak, it be no longer them speaking, but the power of God speaking to them out there. You got to know that you know that you know. The word of God comes over here in the book of John. You look at the book of John. You look over here in this particular area is a powerful scripture, 1 John. If you're going down here to the 12, I mean, the whole book of 1 John is a great testimony to power of God and to the testimony of the power of prayer. But he speaks over in the book of John. Look over the book of John. You look at 12 verse. He said, he that has a son has life. Now notice what he says like that. Let's think about it. When I ain't got the son in me, then I'm just literally lifeless. I mean, I don't got the area to tap into the kingdom and get what all belongs to me. Because I've been made and designed with a gift to be pleasing to Christ. That's what Jeremiah wanted to tell me. I was made and engineered to be just like Christ. In other words, when I be born, the gift was designed to bring forth a gift. In other words, I'm on the spot to a tree that can bring forth more fruit. Not just some kind of fly horse that's going down. I'm called to be a root bearer. And when I'm a root bearer, I got the power to speak words. When I speak words, it's planting in the lives of people. And things begin to grow up out of them. That's why the word says, all things that be not the word. I command by the word of God. I command by the power of the Spirit that whatever it is be in your life and on your life, that it's got to move. Now, that's what the word tells me I got the ability to do. Now, the Bible says you got to be a believer as well. Because if you believe it, then you can receive it. That's what the word of God tells me according to the book of Psalm 46, that he said, I'm a very present. Now, that word ain't available to everybody. It's available to believers. Because if you go back to the book of John, and you look over in the book of John, chapter 5, and that 12, he said, he that hath the Son. Look what he said there. You have life. And Jesus said, I came that you may have, come on somebody, I came that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. What you going to do with life? The Bible says, life lays in the hand of the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost. That when the Holy Ghost comes, it will going to lead you into all truth. Now, when you look at the other part of this picture, now I want you to get the increment. And he that has not the Son has not life. And he's saying in this particular 12 verse, that's life and death. If you have me, that's life. And not only have life, you have it more abundantly. Because now you've been an heir and a joint heir of the kingdom of God. And the Bible said, according to the word of Psalms 84, there's nothing that would hold from you. Why? That's if I walk upright. When a man ways, pleases God. Am I there? God said, I will give you. He didn't say hand over to you, loan you. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. When you begin to get the desires, heart, just the desires of God's heart just for walking right, do you know the very wealth that God can bring? Even though we think about wealth and money, but this is another thing you got to know. Money ain't the biggest burden in the kingdom. It's really not. It's your health and your strength. Because if you ain't got that, then you can't get nothing at all. Let's look at this 12th verse again. He that has a son has life. Notice the increments of it. And he that has not the son has not the life. I'm going to look at this in something else. I'm going to move on. I'm going to look at this over in the Derby translation. Not only in the Derby translation. Give me a few minutes here. I want to go over to what we call the NIV. And I want to look at the Amplified version. I'm just getting ready to get. I can feel the Holy Ghost building up. I can see him moving in this particular word that I'm bringing forth. See, natural-minded men don't hear this because you keep trying to figure out things from a commentary standpoint of view, and God keeps trying to take it. Ain't in the letter, it's in the spirit. I ain't saying you ain't got to learn how to read and write, but you got to understand that God gives revelation educational. He gives you something that you can really understand that's going to help you in the midst of what you're going through, and that's the power to be connected with him in the midst of whatever you're dealing with. He says over here in the book of John, and we'll go back to the book of John, chapter 12, and look at the book of John. I want to look at it over here in this area of the translation. This is in John chapter 12. I mean, John, 1 John 5 in the 12th verse. 1 John 5 in the 12th verse. I believe I got that right. He said, he that has a son has life. He that has not the son of God has not life. Now, I want to look at the Amplified version, which is going to be a little bit more groove. It's going to be a little bit more twist on it. Because the Amplified Version is going to break it down to you, how you really supposed to speak it up. The Amplified Version said, I write to you to whom believe, adhere to trust. Now look what it said, adhere. That means you got to hear before I even speak. You got to believe in me before I even come on. You see, it's like a force. It's like a, see, most people don't believe this. If it, I don't believe it. I say, well, you messed up. There are certain things you may not, shouldn't believe. Before you see it. Because now you're talking about a God who says that according to the word of God, blessed is a man to have faith that believes. Leave it. Oh, him have. No, let me look. Let me take over. I want to make sure I get this right. I want to look at something in the Hebrews. I'm going to come back here. I'm going to come back here to the area of this area in the book of John. But I want to look at the book of. Let me just roll over here to the book of Hebrews right quick. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about the adhering part that Christ speaks about this particular area of scripture over here in this particular area of the verse. Now, in the book of Hebrews, look at the book of Hebrews. Y'all go to the book of Hebrews with me for a minute here. I'm going to go down to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Let's get ourselves in position here. I'm going to look at that from the evangelistic heritage position. I'm going to go over to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. If you go along with me, well, chapter 11. And I'm going to look at chapter 11. Go over here one more, 11. I'm going to look at 11, 1 and 2. The Bible said, I say, did God reject his people? No, that's the wrong one. We got no. Get it right, man of God. Let's Hebrews. Put this on the screen again. Let's go to Hebrews. Make sure we get this in order there. We want to make sure we're teaching the people right here. It says over in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says the evangelistic. This is an evangelistic. I'm not reading from the King James Version. I'm reading from the evangelist. It's called EHV, the evangelistic, the evangelistical heritage version. The Bible says over in verse 11, faith is being sure about what we hope. Now, I want you to look at this real good because it brings it, it kind of brings it really just straight out to you. And we're going to go back over into the area of the book of John, chapter 5, and we're going to look at that particular 13th verse, and that 12th verse again, the 12th or 13th verse again, and we're going to compare it to this area here in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to see what God's saying. He said, faith is being sure about what we hope for. And that's what he says. That's why the word God said, let mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. Your mind has got to be right. The Bible, you ought to think these things. You can't think of the negativity about what somebody done, said, or the possibilities of tomorrow because it ain't promised you. The Bible said, I'm a right God. You living for right now, thank me for your breath right now. Because you never know what can happen in the next 30, 40 minutes. So the word of God says faith is being sure about what we hope for and being convinced about what we do not see. Listen to what he's saying. I got to be convinced about what I don't. See, I can have faith for what I can see. See, I see that. And when you look at a beautiful home, a beautiful car, and you wish the desire to have, then Christ asks you the question. Okay, I'm going to hold on from me. I mean, that's if you walk right. Because I will see the desires of your heart. But I got you to believe and adhere way before this even happened. That means when you see it, you ain't got in it yet, but you see it. But if I see it, it's still the point of saying I hadn't really achieved it or obtained it yet. So say faith is being sure about what was hoped for. I got to have hope, the knowing that I don't see myself in it, but I got myself in it, but I haven't obtained it yet. Faith is sure about what we hope for, being convinced now, come on somebody, about the things we do not see. For by faith, accent were commanded in the spirit. Look, the ancients, what we declared, what we wanted, it was already in our mind. So the Bible said, now you have to be able to think about this and what you want, not putting away the very things I need you to do on your regular basis, but knowing that it's a thought in your mind. If I walk right according to God, saying 48, 411, then he will hold it for me. Because what's in my mind and what I thought about what I saw is a desire for my heart. My heart desired that. The word of God said, if I walk right, no good thing will he hold for me. And the word of God also said, if I believe having the confidence, knowing that I see it, but I haven't walked into, I got to believe and got to see myself going into it, even though I haven't obtained it yet. It's the accent. It's what you see yourself in already. Believing and knowing God will bring it to fruition. I like when God bring it, when he's speaking about this era of scripture, because God's telling you, I need you to believe before you even get it. In other words, I'm going to take you to something that you can have, but before you have it, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to prove to you by you exercising your hope and expectation, knowing that you conceive it, but it has not yet been in your grasp or in your hand yet, that I'm the God that can bring it to fruition, that I'm not a God that I lie, that Numbers 23:19-21. Nor am I the son of any man that I said had to repent. I gave a command word, not only a command word to speak and declare and decree, but knowing to have the expectation that no one can do what I say I'm going to do. Oh, I'm in there. I know I'm in there. God wants you to believe. He said to him that believeth is an ongoing belief. Even testifying of what the power of God can do for you in your life. He goes back over to John chapter 5, and he says something in John chapter 5, very interesting, as I said before, over that particular area we just came out of, with that area of that particular 13th verse in the Amplified version. I write this to you who believe. Look, add here before, go back, what we said over in the book of Hebrews, I gotta expect it. I mean, I gotta not only hear it, that when it's mentioned with the hope and expectation, God still got an open plan for me because He loves me. He still got an open plan field for me that I say I want it. But if I want it, then God say that's a desire. If you've been a desire, and you've been my child, and you've been the heir of the throne, then that's not our hope in you. But you got baby, give me a command to move. And the command to move is through prayer. That when you pray about something, God know the goodness of your heart. That you will go outside the will of God, then God says, okay, well, you can't have it. Because you're not walking in the bounds of my commands and my obedience. It's not that I don't want to give it to you, but you got to guard your heart, be careful what you say and how you do it. Because that's what's going to give you what you want. The Bible says, be careful what you ask for. And then when you do ask the right way, but still bearing in your heart, knowing that you got to keep yourself a clear for a while before you let anything come to your heart. You can't let nothing come to you while you actually walk in faith. That means the enemy is going to try to destroy your mind. That's why God said that in the book of Romans, He said not only in the book of Romans, He was in the book of John. He said, let my mind. In fact, we go to 1 John 40th verse, he talks about let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. Now, you got to have the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible said, count it not robbery to be just like Christ, but you got to have the mind for Christ. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That means you got to really understand what the Word of God is telling you. In John, look at John 11, not 1 John, but regular John, he said, the Jews behold how he has loved him. Look what he says. And some of them said, could not this man which opened his eyes be blind? So the man knew that what caused blindness is irreversible because of the kind of faith he's seen Christ do in other people. Now, that's when God said, if I did it for them, I can do it for you. It doesn't remove you from the restrictions. It's according to how your faith. What God got for you is already here on earth. The Bible says you got to be a believer. And when you be a believer, you got to believe and understand that whatever come out of your mouth, being a child of God, you things into existence. And when you speak things into existence, Romans 4:17 tells you that's how you call things. That's how you operate as being heir of the throne. That's why Jesus came to show you how the work's supposed to be done. And then not for you to kind of robbery to be just like Christ. When you land on your hands on the sick, believe the same thing that Christ did, you can do also. When God becomes when he spoke over the lives of people, guess what? Things happen. Not only yesterday or tomorrow, it happened now. You're really walking in an automatic. That some people say, well, God is going to do what I deal with. God was going to do. The Bible tells me he has already done it. It's according to my faith and my belief. He said that I believe it. All things are possible. He didn't say some things. He said all things. Now, God's not going to give you something that will cause you to really pull backwards. I mean, what I'm saying is that God's not going to give you something that's going to disrupt your walk with him. He's not going to cause the relationship between you and him to be tweet physical substance. If God says you're not ready for it, then your faith is not strong enough to grasp what God has in store for you. Because if he did, God would give it to you. You ain't going to leave me. I mean, you talking about Job. People say Job got tested. Job ain't get tested. God knew just what he was doing with Job. And the opportunity that when things did come up on Job, he believed that his faith in God was going to still be the same. Hey, man, I want you to stone your God and just, you know, get on out of here. He said, man, you must be crazy. Called his wife a fool. Say, woman, you talk like a fool. And that's what I'm talking about. You got to be. Tell your husband he a fool. When you go to ask about something you want in your life, tell your wife he a fool, and then your husband tell him you a fool. Because when you're about to, don't be unevenly yoked. See, when you pray like me and my wife, you got to be all on one accord. You got to have an expectation and believe that when God says something, it's going to be done. A normal thing, it's a norm. The Bible says those who constantly pray together, but not only stay together, but that's another slogan they got on the body of Christ. You know, the family that prays together, stays together. No, not only that. It ain't got nothing to do with that. That's something somebody made up and told you. Family that prays together, stays together. Man that prays together, stays together. No. You pray before you go in. God begin to compare your mate with you. The Bible says he already know what you need, but if you seek you first the kingdom. No, Christ is God will add all these things unto you. He goes down in this area. When we talk about the area of 1 John, you look at 1 John, you look over 1 John, you talk about the word of God said in 1 John. 1 John, we go back to John. 1 John, in that particular 12 verse, says in the, well, let's look at, go back to 13. These things have I written unto you. Believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is what he's saying. These things that have written unto you. I told you this already in Scripture. The only way your mind is going to grab Scripture, you got to have a new kind of mind. You got to have a new revelational thought in your mind. The Bible says you got to go back to your maybe Romans 8:9. Maybe you got to re-up and believe what the God said about your heart and your mind and your confession made unto him, not unto man. Man can't give you nothing, but God can give you everything. He says, I'm an ultimate supplier. I'll dump truck you. If you believe it, okay. If you think little, then you don't get little. It's not for you to get to show up and think you're better than anybody else. But God wants you to know that I want to own the cattle of 1,000 hills. And every blessing you leave was in the hands of the wicked. That when it looked like they enjoyed it in the wrong way, I'll get you something. And that they may want it as you have, and you'll enjoy it in the right way. Show that God is not lent, his hand is not short, nor his promises that he promised for your life. If they can live it, you can live it. If they can get $1 million, then God can give it to you. Come to somebody, you got to have faith. And I'll be living in it right now, but at the same time, I'm ain't living in it, but that doesn't mean that God can't give it to me. God said, whatever your heart desires. I don't know how to live in that stuff. To be part of something that makes me try to feel good, it seems like I'm somebody else. All right, we got to take you to a class. God bless them. They went to Martha's Vineyard. Well, I don't care to see Martha's Vineyard. I don't care to be around that out there. That's what they want to go see, then fine. I ain't knocking and saying it's wrong with them going to see it. But anyway, that ain't my thing. I mean, that they're going to go out there and make their shoulders look a little broader, then okay then. But we don't come into the life that we have right now to think we're better than anybody else. So the word of God tells me that if you walk in the spirit, there's a lustful craving of the things in the physical that you don't need to have. Now, you may have made a phone call to get a tour, but anybody get a, there's nothing wrong with what they've done. But I'm trying to get you to see if it makes you better than everybody else, then it ain't no good. Whenever I get something in my life and I get my friends or my family and my people that is I'm better than them, then the God says, okay, you better watch out because I'm snatching. To you that when you come in here, you can't bring Egypt mentality to the promise. You can't do it. You can't bring a negative, I got it all, better mindset into the kingdom of God. The Bible says everybody's got the right to the tree of life. The Bible says the same way you come in, the same way you're going to go out. Not the same way you come in, well, you come into the womb, you're going to go back to where you come from. That's the dirt. You want to avoid you come from the dirt. You want to help make you come from the dirt. So dirt is going to all go back to dirt. So we ain't nothing but dirt. But if you sprinkle the dirt the right way, it'll make you grow. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, put some dirt on me. Yeah, you want to put some dirt on your people. Maybe they need to grow. You need to show them what it is about the life you got to live after that. You need to prepare for that. You stay living on what they have on this side. I'm saying you need to prepare yourself for that side. They're walking up here every day. Every minute, every hour, somebody going out to pick a box for somebody. Am I anywhere? I'm trying to get you to see something, man and woman, God, that God says if you have a spiritual walk, and you walk in the spirit, there's things this earth God will give you that won't come a better desire than in Matthew 6 and 33. That I'm the one allowed to have what it is that they got out there. And if you think what they got out there and what I got for you in here, then you totally mistaken. That's why I'm telling you, the money in the money ain't the biggest blessing in the kingdom. They have all the riches around. You better think about the rich man in the book of Luke. He got down in the midst of he was one that was the became between him and Lazarus. But Lazarus went into his bosom, not having nuts. They said the dog licked his soles. They threw food to him outside the kitchen when the people came to dump the food. The Bible said he sat at the man's table and ate the scraps. But on the other side, come on, somebody. You understand that you need to prepare. Your life is just as great on this side as in the other. That's only if I walk upright, if I treat my brother and sister right, the way they need to be treated, then God will hold nothing for me in the midst of where I'm in. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to pray for our fellow sisters and brothers all around the world, all those who are going through a trauma in life, all those who may be going through a process of like with the Philippian jailer. When he began to say, and ask the Lord, what must he do to be saved? When Paul and Silas began to pray up off in that house, and they shook the bars loose. And, oh, Father, I ask you, in the life of every individual, as you begin to move up and down all around their life, whatever committed sin they may have behind closed doors, that they're not regulating their mind on and thinking money's going to be the thing to get them out of it. Father God, I'm asking you to bring the truth in the name of Jesus. Then in the midst of bringing the truth, they may know and understand and realize in the season that they are in is really more than what you have in store for them. Father God, I'm asking you to go on to the head of this nation, take all the things that's going on, all the scrambleization in the White House in the name of Jesus. I prophesy a word of a tongue all over the man and woman of God, that he will begin to speak, they get jumbled, and you begin to clear the very calendar of their tongue with the word to come out of it. If they're lying about anything that's not right, Father God, I'm asking you to bring it to submission under the authority and the Holy Ghost. Lord, in the name of Jesus, even in the midst of the midnight hour, when things seem to be rolling the way they should, Father, I'm asking you to come in, subdue, and shut down. I'm asking you to erase away all the things in their life that make them feel ugly, with you declare them to be. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to move with the authority of your power. The name of you, Father God, that everything and all things are already made possible for what you've done on the cross, that they may believe and understand and realize that you are a God, and beside you there's no other. In the name of Jesus, whatever health condition there be going on in their body, I ask you to move, Lord, convicting the rest, shut down the line of everything. Your body is not like God, that even when you go to the corridors of the hospital, move in a way, Father God, that you never moved before. Show yourself approval in the lives of disbelievers. Let them believe and understand that what they have in their hand ain't nowhere near what you got for them in the kingdom. That they may know and understand that you are a God, and a God that you should not lie, but a son of a man that you would have to repent. Your command has been given to bless in the name of Jesus. That even when you begin to move through the corridors of all the hospitals, Father God, whatever's in the ICUs, I'm asking you to move in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help this prophet begin to speak the words out of his mouth, that even in the midst of all those who are coming against the things that you're doing in this ministry, Father God, I'm asking you to line them up and let them realize and understand that the time and the hurt that we have put in, Father God, is not for them to make us a spectacle of the gospel, but believe and understand that they're coming against the most anointed of God in the body of Christ, that they may believe and understand it's not about their social position, but them to believe and understand the word that you have and that you proclaim upon the hilltop. Before we were even born, we were designed to do this work. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to move, Father God, in the midst of all the families, in the name of Jesus, whatever that son and that daughter may be that's outside the wheel, Father God, to bring them in and let them be a wheel in the middle of the wheel, to show the man and women of God, or whatever may be the in their life, that you're more powerful to move in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to go in this household. Look over my wife, Father God, who made here on their birthday just the other day. And Father God, I'm asking you to bless her in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to look over her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that everything in her body, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that she may be healed from every condition in her body, that she may be delivered a word in a season that she never known to be delivered in. Oh, Lord, let the anointing flow in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for the power of your Holy Ghost, that you will move in a way that you never move. Lord, show yourself in the name of Jesus, that we begin to pray, Father God, that every anointing you declared over our life has got the full fruition. And Father God, I believe that when you look over my son in the name of Jesus, heal him, whatever condition it may be in his body. Let me know in the name of Jesus that whatever may be in his life, over his life, has got the full torn. Oh God, move in the name of Jesus. Let your word be known throughout all the world. Lord, when it seems like I'm praying and we can't pray no more, Lord, I'm asking you to move in this house. Move every area, Father God. Touch everything house that may not be like you, that we may not understand that you are a God and beside you as a Father. Oh, Father God, in that Asanda Rosso Bokoro, Ida Marasanda de Candarosandaba, Eco Rossi, Dada, Badadada Bandaros, Woe Condoroson Candande, Ida Rossin, that alone move in the name of Jesus. Lord, the man of God who look upon us as what they want them to be, and they own our sight, that it may look like they may be and delivered on their side. But Father God, we're coming up in the rear in the name of Jesus, and everything first has got to be last. But Father God, on the way up, we'll see them come down. That when they come down, Father God, we'll be the ones to hold on the hand to pull them back up to what they need to be, that they may know and understand that in the midst of the work that we're doing and the season that we're doing it in, that no weapon, no weapon designed and engineered against your people to prosper. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to move by your and by your power, by your grace, and by your mercy, Father God, that even if you look upon my young daughter, Father God, I'm asking you to touch her and begin to strengthen her, Father God, and begin to take her time to move in the way that we designed as a pioneer in the season in. She will believe and understand in the midst of her young life, Father God, all that you have in store for her, Father God, will come to every area that she needed to be according to your will, your purpose, your power. Lord, let us be in your will in the name of Jesus, that we'll be in your will. Oh, Father God, we know that no man could come and get that what you designed and intended us to be. Father God, shut down all the families and all the demons, all the soothsayers that speak those proud things over this ministry, try to be not if they were, that you may raise us up in the sin that we're in. Give us favor beyond favor in the mighty name of Jesus. All my brothers in the distant land, bless them, Father God, as they go forth and do all that you declare them to be. Oh, I thank you, Father God, because you are a God, Lord, and beside you that no other. Can't no demon, no hell against you. So the battle was already won. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. In the name of Jesus. And we declare by the word of God, that we know that through the Spirit, Father God, we're doing things according to your word, your way, and your will. Let us be in your will in the name of Jesus. That when we speak and declare things, Father God, and call things that be not what they were, we were doing to understand that we a superior God, an honorable God, and he's a God that won't go back to his word, that we may understand that they're healing in the name of Jesus, a part of eternal life, that you gave us a covenant, Father God, that we may have in the relationship that we have with you, that we may ask anything in agreement, that you will do what you said you're going to do. Lord, bring on in the name of Jesus. Begin to bless your family. Begin to bless your men of God. Open up the doors of heaven that they may know and understand in the season that we're in. We moving according to the authority and the power of the precious Holy Spirit. And knowing to you, Father God, that everything and all things are already made possible according to your will, your purpose, your power. And Father, we thank you for this time, moment, this night, that you declared the word out of the mouth of your priest. There was a word that went forth, and it did not go back void. I'm asking, Father God, to open up the ears of everyone that they may hear, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this time, this moment, Father God. And your precious, the powerful, mighty name, as your angels begin to gather ears to hear the very things that come from the mouth and the hearts of your priests. In the season that we're in, Father, be an extraordinary word, a remarkable word, a diametrically unopposed word in the name of Jesus, that we'll speak a word according to the power and the grace that know that in you, God, that everything and all things has already been made possible according to the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you for the time, this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. No matter what, God, we got you down to the end of the show. We thank you for joining us. We're talking about the testimony, the power of God, and the movement and the revelation of God's word. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. Whatever you do for one, you do for another. You are that one. Prophesy over your life. Declare the word of God. You're going to be just what he says to you. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here. They sit on some ministry. Should have prayed on Texas.
God joined us on the go forth the word. The man of God is coming out of Africa and Kenya. So we ask the man of God, Elisha, which out of Bethany Ministry. He's got a powerful way to support some at the same time. Join in. Be a part of the service. We'd love to see you guys be out with us. Tune in. God bless you.